This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red.
Hey, good morning. How about a little Bobby Darin for you? Remember him? You know, he was kind of multi-talented. He was an actor, a singer, a writer. He had a television show and a bad heart, unfortunately. He died young. But good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning, October 16th, the day after the big debate, the big Democratic debate. We will be joined in a few minutes by Jarrett Stepman. He is a regular contributor to the Daily Caller. He is also a co-host of a podcast called The Right Side of History. And he has written a piece on the abolishment of Columbus Day, like in Washington, D.C., and also what the real Columbus was all about. So I look forward to talking with him. And then we are going to be with the president of Bikers for 45. Bikers for 45. His name is George Colella. And we will talk with George about his national motorcycle group's enthusiastic backing of Donald Trump. So stay tuned for that as well. And of course, we're going to talk about last night's presidential debate. Will it move the dial for any of those people? And who were the winners and losers? So stay tuned for that. And my God, we got a lot for everybody today. You are so lucky to be listening to this show because we have our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, and you will find out the top 10 worst cities to retire to. The worst cities. So there you go. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best place to get a haircut, you guys, in Tampa Bay. It is Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Great haircut at a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right. Oh, also, our website. How can I forget? You got to go to our website because, hey, you might not hear our show at the right time, but you can go to our website and listen anytime your little heart desires because Big Ed sets up all our shows on our podcast. So you can listen to us anytime. Hey, 2 in the morning if you want. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, well, there was a debate last night, way too long. I think it started at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it dragged on till about 11 p.m. Can you imagine listening to those 12 people for that long? I couldn't. I watched most of it. And then I was watching some baseball, Ed. I don't know who won the game, though. I guess, I know. The Washington Nationals are going to the World Series, Ed. Did you know that?
Didn't they sweep?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 4 straight over St. Louis.
Those poor Yankees lost yesterday, too.
Oh, they did. That's what I was going to ask you. So Houston is up 2-1 in that one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you rooting for any of those teams?
I'm rooting for everybody but the Yankees, or anybody that plays the Yankees is my favorite
team.
You
are a Yankee hater, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that go back a long time?
Actually, as a kid, I grew up as a Yankees fan because I lived in New York between the Yankees and the Mets, yeah.
Well, what happened?
Well, you move and you lose touch and all those players are gone. I mean,
that's
I grew up with Thurman Munson and guys like that.
I remember Thurman Munson. He was killed in an airplane crash.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was horrible. He was a great catcher.
Yeah. We used to play stickball and...
Stickball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
oh, yeah, you mean like with the wiffle ball and all
no,
that?
No, no, wiffle ball.
What?
No, it's like a it's
what
like
mean, what?
It's like a wiffle thick ball. Broom handle.
Oh.
And it's a rubber ball, and that you hit that thing, and it'd go a country mile.
Yeah.
And you didn't need a mitt, you know.
Yep.
So I grew up as a Yankees fan, but I'm just really turned off by the amount of money that team gets to spend every year, and then, you know, it's like the Rays work, and then the Yankees just, you know, show up and go to the front of the line. You know, that's
I think you hit about a feeling amongst a lot of baseball fans about the Yankees. Remember when George Steinbrenner was kind of in that era when that brought all that big money to players, wasn't he?
And I just,
he was willing to spend that kind of money.
And I just think the Rays are just a little intimidated by the uniform. And I just keep saying that a bunch of guys just shop at the same place. And you'd think that all that money they pulled down, they could afford to put the names on the back of the uniforms.
True.
What is the deal? Why don't they do that?
I don't know. Because maybe they think it looks classier.
Oh.
And in this day and age, what is it really? Well, you know, actually, for television, you should have their names on the back. Yeah. I don't know.
But I guess you could just keep selling those numbered jerseys without a name
on it. Exactly. It's like we're too good to have our name on the
back. But then the good ones are retired anyway, so they'd have their name on it anyway. You know, Ruth Gehrig and guys like
that. Yeah. They don't even allow anybody to wear number 3, which was Babe Ruth's number. You know, they retired it, and you've never got a number 3 again.
Maris, I think his is retired.
Mantle, probably.
Mantle is.
7.
Yeah.
Mantle was 7. I think Bill Scourin was, Yogi Berra. They should have retired his. He was 8. I remember that.
DiMaggio.
But before my time, but I can't remember. But he was a great one, too. I'm sure they retired it. Anyway, what are we talking sports for? I got a show to do.
You started it.
Did I?
Yeah.
We have a Democrat. Did you watch any of the Democratic debate?
I didn't have boots high enough to watch that, to get through that, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
the horse stuff.
Uh-huh. It's Mississippi mud.
See, I can wake up this morning and say, I don't have to worry about that 3 hours I can't get back of my life from last night.
Well, I had to watch it, you know, for the show. Mm-hmm. And actually, I treat it like a sporting event. Really. To me, it's kind of funny to watch it. It's like, you know, people root for different people. I have no favorites in that group. However, I find it to be like a sporting event. That's the way I look at it.
I'm just amazed they say stuff, the things that they say with a straight face.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable what they can say. There's Joe Biden standing up there reaffirming that he never had any discussions with his son about his son's being on the board of that Ukrainian utility company when everybody in the world knows. They had a picture of his son and he and one of the Ukrainian officials playing golf. Come on.
I mean, how do you think
Joe,
that conversation...
do you think anybody believes you?
How do you think that conversation went down? Joe to his son. So, son, are you working these days?
Yeah
Dad,
right.
I got a job. What dad wouldn't say?
Don't
what
tell,
kind of job?
No, he would have said, right? Son, don't tell me about the job. Yeah. Because I don't want to know about the job, because if I know about the job, I'll be in trouble.
Where are you putting the money?
Yeah. Anyway... So Biden and 11 others were up there. Why they have 12 people up there, it's like, that's another reason to watch it, just because they're all stepping on each other's lines.
They want an even dirty dozen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what? We're going to talk about that debate a little bit later in the show, because we were chatting away about sports and a few other things. And we want to have our buddy Jarrett Stepman come on and join us. So why don't we take our break? And then when we come back... we're going to talk about Columbus Day, or lack thereof, with Jarrett Stepman.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
travel around the world, and you'll never have to leave St. Pete at the 45th Annual International Folk Fair, October 25th through the 27th, with the Betty Fox Band performing Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at noon. Visit over 39 countries, watch parades, sample their food, and purchase gift items. Check out the Beer Garden on Saturday with bands performing on the main stage. Admission is just $10 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 6 are free. It's the 45th Annual International Folk Fair at the Vinoit Park in St. Pete, all presented by spiffs.org.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday morning on Freedom Works, and we are delighted to have Jarrett Stepman join us. Jarrett is a co-host of a program called The Right Side of History, a podcast show. He is also a regular contributor to the Daily Signal, and he has penned a piece about Washington, D.C., getting rid of Columbus Day, and the real truth about Christopher Columbus. Jarrett, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you, and I'm very interested in talking with you about your piece. You are discussing the fact that the council, the District of Columbia City Council, has okayed a measure to abolish Columbus Day, the celebration of Columbus Day. It will be replaced by Indigenous Peoples Day. It's almost hard to believe that our nation's capital would do that.
Well, it really is. It's particularly egregious given the fact that it's named after Christopher Columbus. So you can't celebrate a man who your own city is named after, which is quite incredible. I mean,
yes, indeed.
You know, at some point, are we simply going to abolish the name, the District of Columbia, or maybe abolish Washington, D.C. itself? Of course, I think a lot of Americans around the country would probably like to do that for other reasons. But it is quite incredible to think that Christopher Columbus can't be celebrated in our nation's capital. And really, this kind of goes along with the trend we've seen across the nation. I mean, I think over 50 cities and states have essentially abolished Columbus Day and replaced it with Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's quite interesting, especially given the fact that I think there are a lot of Americans who would say they'd be fine celebrating both Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day or whatever other day people would like to celebrate. But I think there's obviously this idea that people have to get rid of Christopher Columbus and it has to be replaced by another holiday. And I think that's really a shame. Certainly at one time, Columbus was universally admired in America, and I think that's no longer the case.
I mean, once you get past laughing about this attempt, you start to realize this is kind of scary. Christopher Columbus was, when I grew up, we knew that when Christopher Columbus came over and was dealing with what they called the Indians, because they thought they had found a quicker route to the country of India, the nation of India. That there was probably some trouble that may have occurred over that period of time. Columbus made about three or four trips, as I remember, to the New World, But we also realized that that he was an adventurer, that he was, his heart was probably in the right place. I mean, now all of a sudden the guy's a villain.
He's really been turned into a villain. I think, unfortunately, that's built on a lot of history that, to a certain extent, isn't true. And Columbus is often blamed for things that happened in the New World that had nothing to do with him. And I think that is also an unfortunate thing. And look, from the time of this country's founding, Americans have celebrated Christopher Columbus. Now, obviously, he made his adventure long before the United States existed, but for many Americans, especially the founders, they thought, well, without Columbus, our country wouldn't have existed. Without that journey, in what he did. I mean, which really transformed the world. And you want to talk about bravery. I mean, this is a man who took three ships, I mean, barely 40 feet long, out into the unknown of the Atlantic. It was a two-month voyage, completely, without any idea if they would actually make it or not, or what they were actually going to encounter. Of course, he ended up running into the New World. He thought he was going to end up in Asia. He didn't. He actually made a far greater discovery, I think, than he even realized in his own lifetime. He only late in life did he realize that he had actually discovered new continents, which is quite incredible. And it's sad that we can't celebrate Columbus anymore. People, have attacked him as some kind of genocidal monster. I think that's deeply unfair and untrue. And it's incredible that we've seen now a man who was most universally admired in America basically become universally despised, especially by younger generations, especially those who are under the influence of one historian in particular named Howard Zinn, who wrote A People's History of the United States, which really did the damage to Columbus's legacy. And we're seeing today the kind of acolytes of Zinn who now go around the country saying, well, we got to get rid of Columbus Day, no matter where it is.
We're talking with Jarrett Stepman. He is co-host of The Right Side of History. It's a podcast. And also contributes to such journals as the Daily Signal, which he did here, and has written a piece, D.C. is Abolishing Columbus Day, Here's the Truth About Columbus. You know, this is part of a trend, Jarrett. We've seen it already. They are, I guess I would call it the left. I don't know, it's a combination of ingredients over on that side, trying to take down Robert E. Lee's statues, Columbus's statues, probably a few other presidents' statues. It's just part of a trend. I don't know where it's going, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I mean, Columbus is almost like, you can almost say an argument against Robert E. Lee. Not that I have one, but Christopher Columbus, the guy that discovered our country.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just recently released a book through Regnery Publishing called The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past. And I lay out where all these, how all these attacks have happened. I start with Christopher Columbus and make my way through American history. Of course, I give a defense of American history in itself. But I think for many, I think they really do want to put America on trial. I mean, I think the argument is that America is somehow been rotten from the beginning. That starts with Columbus, and of course that starts with the very seeds of what you'd think of as American civilization or institutions. And I think that there's something deeper with this attack. I mean, it's not just pointing out the flaws of individuals like Thomas Jefferson or Christopher Columbus or whoever it is. I think it's a deeper attack on what this country is, what it was built on, the things that ultimately made it great. Now, of course, America is a flawed country like any others. I mean, there are many things that make Americans unexceptional, and just the way the rest of the world works. But there are also a lot of things that make us exceptional, that make us stand out, that make America a place of freedom, of liberty, of self-governance. Those are incredible things, and I think the narrative has been changed. Instead of celebrating the things that I think we once admired as exceptional about America, there are many who think that America is actually exceptionally bad, and it's something that we need to be embarrassed about or ashamed of. And I think that couldn't be more wrong, ultimately. And I think that's what I would argue. And it's sad to see one hero after another come under attack and statues being attacked. We're pretty soon going to have no history and no future. I think that's where the end result
right.
of this is.
Right. Do you think any of this has to do with the increased... with the rise of socialism?
I do. I think that these things kind of go together, especially as you look at polls of American understanding of history and civics that have gone down so much, especially for younger generations. It's getting to the point of really being a crisis. At the same time, seeing polls of Americans who say they prefer socialism to capitalism going up. I think one recently showed that there's actually now a slim majority says they prefer socialism to capitalism. Now, what that actually means, I think a lot of people don't really know, and I think that's part of the problem here. But I think there is this kind of idea that, especially for those who are attacking history, that if we simply cut the mystic cords of memory that have bound Americans to their past, their traditions, to the fundamental ideas, the Constitution, the Declaration, that they can replace that with an ideology that's very much against the American worldview, a collectivist ideology, the socialism that promises a some kind of utopian future where all the oppression of the past can be done away with, that human nature can be transcended. And, you know, I think that's why it's important to look at human history, to look at how people dealt with the challenges of their own day and understand the things that the rare times in which we've actually had liberty, where we actually have had success and prosperity. You know, we can thank the American tradition for that, and a lot of great Americans who ultimately made that so. Many flawed ones.
Yes, indeed. You know, and there's been this pattern of wanting to take... I have to go back to the Charlottesville, Virginia situation, where I guess Robert E. Lee's statue was involved in that. And all of a sudden it became, you know, on one side they were claiming... The media got into it saying that it was like right-wing, like Nazi and Aryan and white power. But the truth was, a large, if not most of the people that were there were just wanting to defend that statue of Robert E. Lee, as opposed to a group of people that wanted to take the statue down. But they made it seem like it was more than that. And the media, it seems to either play into the hands of people that want to change the fabric of our country, or I don't know what. I wanted to get your thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that a handful of white supremacist Nazi types, you define Americans at all. I think the media tried to portray that. I think Americans who care about their history, their country, their past, who wish to preserve it, I think that's a much larger, broader segment of society. And that used to be, frankly, almost all Americans. This used to not really be a left-right issue. It used to be just, look, Americans, you know, have many differences. We've been fighting about politics for a long time. There's certainly, if you have an understanding of our history, understand that there have been a lot of bitter political battles throughout our history. At the same time, we've always come to admire our traditions. I mean, the founding fathers, I think, have always been had a place of respect, and I think for very good reason. I think there are many who don't think they're just going after Confederates. I think Confederates are just kind of low-hanging fruit. I think they have a much bigger attack on what they see as American history as a whole. They've tried to accuse America of just simply being a white supremacist society and nothing else. And I think that is a deeply misguided statement, and I think it's one that really isn't in line with our history. And unfortunately, you know, if we do have a lot of ignorance about history, and we do have a lot of attacks, you know, that's going to become the narrative. You know, that's the narrative that they want to push. And I think that really is a rewriting of our history and what we stand for. And I think that's why it's important to fight these fights and to kind of correct the record on whether it be Christopher Columbus or Thomas Jefferson, who's come under attack, or any of these other figures, to have a deeper understanding, a kind of informed patriotism about our past, because, you know, we're quickly losing these things. I mean, I don't know how much longer we're going to continue having Columbus Day in this country, given the rate of how many places are getting rid of it, including the nation's capital. So I think that's the warning shot, and Americans need to wake up to this.
Yes, indeed, and I think it, and I think you're alluding to it, it really kind of starts in the school system and in the education of our kids and what they are now, you know, hearing. And when if you're in first or second or third or fourth grade, and the first things you hear about Christopher Columbus is that he did bad things to American Native Americans. I mean, you know, immediately you kind of, that's the foundation from which you're going to think about the guy. And go ahead.
And they get that with no context whatsoever.
None.
About
right.
The wider world. And I think that's really the problem as well. I mean, these kind of negative things, but, you know, Columbus, a man of medieval times, you know, in the new world, you know, and I think that is part of the problem with this. And that's a kind of that kind of ideological history, the kind of march through our institutions, the K-12 level and higher ed. I think it's been a big problem with this. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, I believe very strongly in the issue of school choice and the idea that Americans need to have alternatives, because, let's be frank, we've been let down by our education in this country. This shouldn't be the case. We're supposed to be informed. We're supposed to be raising young Americans and civics and patriotism, and our schools just aren't doing that.
Right. My colleague, Big Ed Davis, wants to ask you or mention something. Ed?
Yeah, it makes you wonder what gives the right to any one person, a group of people that can rewrite our history just on a whim, whether it's tearing down statues. I mean, what's going to be next? I can see the history class. Boys and girls, let's turn to page 254 that involves Christopher Columbus, and we all need to tear that page out. Is that next?
Yeah. It's like wiping a guy away and making him disappear, which, go ahead.
It really is. And I think that's why you get kind of these absurdities now. There's this mural of George Washington in San Francisco that they finally covered up. They said it was too offensive because it depicted George Washington and slavery and some other things. The original mural was actually not the most positive portrayal. It was done by a hard left guy in the 1930s. But some today were so offended by it, other leftists today were so offended by it, that they actually ended up covering the thing up in a giant shroud. And you know, that's the kind of absurdity that you're getting with this.
Right.
You can't even avert your eye to anything in history unless it conforms to some kind of rigid ideology. That kind of applying these kind of rules of social justice to the past, we're not going to have any past. You can't look at anything. And frankly, that leaves us incapable of dealing with the issues in our own time and thinking through the challenges we'll face, too. We'll simply be, ignorant babes who face the future with no understanding of what humanity really is.
Well, Jared, it's been a real pleasure to have you on. Jared Stepman, who is, again, a co-host of The Right Side of History podcast. If people want to hear that show, Jared, do they just look for your name on the internet, or how does that work?
You can find any place where you can find a major podcast, Stitcher. We also have it on Ricochet. You can also check out my book, The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past, on Amazon.com. And you can also check out my work at DailySignal.com, which is where I write.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it's been a pleasure, Jared, and I hope we'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jared Stepman.
Remember the good old days when you didn't like something? Don't look at it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we are going to talk to the president of Bikers, or 45.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's have a ball at the hall tonight. Do the girl to the girl is right. Make the scene, the record machine. Have a dancing party tonight. Come on, let's buy mashed potatoes too. What you see, girl, is the dance to do. Twist and shout till we knock ourselves out. Have a dancing party tonight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Travel around the world, and you'll never have to leave St. Pete at the 45th Annual International Folk Fair, October 25th through the 27th, with the Betty Fox Band performing Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at noon. Visit over 39 countries, watch parades, sample their food, and purchase gift items. Check out the Beer Garden on Saturday with bands performing on the main stage. Admission is just $10 for adults, $6 for students, and children under 6 are free. It's the 45th Annual International Folk Fair at the Vinoy Park in St. Pete, all presented by Spiffs.org.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talking sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Wednesday. I guess we call it post-debate day, Ed. The day after the... I don't know why.
It's
not that big of a deal.
You can't say it.
I have to put my boots on like you and when we talk about that debate.
You need high waders is what
very
you need.
Very high. And a stepladder as well. We are delighted to have the president of Bikers for 45, George Colella, joining us. And when George, when we say Bikers for 45, these are motorcyclists that are backing Donald Trump. And George, thanks for being on. I guess you are not the head of some little group. You have quite a few members.
Yes, we do.
We're getting really bigger. When I started this whole thing with many years ago, I was one of the original backers for Trump, and I put 13,585 miles on my bike for President Trump, and I also did 9,600 miles for Ron DeSantis.
Wow.
We're trying to support the right thing. I'm also a World Trade Center survivor.
Are you?
I was on the 7th floor when the planes hit.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and when Trump came down those stairs, I knew he was the man, so that's why I do what I do.
Well,
I'm waiting for the 2020 to be over.
My goodness, you've had a very interesting life. And let me ask you, just before we get into talking about Bikers for 45 and what you're doing these days, How did you become interested in motorcycles? Were you always a motorcycle enthusiast?
Yes, I've been riding bikes since I was 19.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's for the last 15 years then.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit older than that. But we always do, bikers do a lot of great stuff. We do a lot of charity organizations, and we try to help out the underprivileged and stuff like that.
You do.
So that's what we try to do. But what Trump is doing for this country, it's very, very important, and that's why we support him. I'm wearing my boots, like you said, about the debate last night.
Yes. Well, you know, bikers always wear boots anyway, but you're going to have them extra high.
Yeah, not this size.
I know what you mean. So you said that as soon as Trump came rolling down the escalator, announcing his candidacy for president, you were behind him. What was it about Trump at that point? Did you just know enough about him beforehand, or you like what you heard right away, or how did you become a big Trump supporter?
Well, I knew Trump from construction. I was an electrician in the city. So we met him on a few jobs. He was always down to earth. You know, he didn't walk around stuck up with all the money. And I'll tell you something else. He also walked the picket line. One of the buildings were going non-union. He came out of his limo and walked the picket line with us.
So, he did? Wow.
He's a down-to-earth guy. And then after the Trade Center happened, he brought a suitcase signed with checks, which a lot of people don't know about, and gave it to Rudy Giuliani. He said, whatever you need, you write out what you need.
Wow. No, he doesn't talk about that.
No, he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't talk about the people that he sent down. He's a straight shooter. I mean, I was on stage with him at the Villages. I was right next to him because I was told to stand by him when he signed that help bill. I mean, he really cares for people. And you know what? I was like kind of a little nervous, and me as a biker not being nervous, but I was a little nervous. But he was the same way he was when I met him the first time many, many years ago.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep. The man is unbelievable.
You know, he's a very charming guy, particularly one-on-one. I've always heard that about him. Very warm, very caring person. Of course, the media, as you well know, try to portray him as a goofball.
Yeah.
And, you know, unto himself. But when you get a chance to talk with him, he's supposed to be very disarming and very good.
No, yes. He's really down to earth. And I said to him, I know you're on a lot of stress. And he just smiled because, let me tell you something, he's so smart that he's 10 steps ahead of all these people. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, look at the buildings he put up in Manhattan, stuff like that. I mean, and all his, you know, all his places that he has throughout the world. I mean, it's not. And he gave up to save this country. There's a movie I don't want to. There's a movie out called The Trump Prophecy. It's on Amazon. It's if you're on Amazon Prime, it's free. It's called The Trump Prophecy.
The Trump Prophecy. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you watch that movie, it'll put you back in your seat. It's unbelievable. It's about a fireman, 2011, I believe. Mark Miller, his name was, and he wrote stuff down, and it's just amazing about the prayers and stuff like that to get him pushed. And I believe he's blessed by God, Trump.
Wow. So tell me how you decided to form Trumpers for 45.
Well, we decided to...
Trumpers, I mean, bikers for 45, Trumpers
yeah,
for
that's
45.
That's okay.
I like Trumpers for 45.
Don't worry, I won't come for looking for you. Anyway, but the whole thing is that what we did is, because of he's the 45th president, we decided to do a bikers organization just for him under his... And he loves the 45. He signed my... large patch that I have. I sent him one and he sent one back to me. I mean, the man is a stand-up guy. I mean, there's nothing else you can say about him. And but the gentleman that spoke before about the education, I mean, they have a book out by Macmillan's called The Pig in the White House. It's a children's book. I mean, these people are crazy. And what happened in Minnesota, the same thing. We had bikers there in Minnesota, and there was no problems until the bikers left and everything else, and then they started. They wait for people to walk singly. These anti-Trumpers, that what they do, they destroy stuff, and then it's just how they. I mean, the hatred. I never saw hatred like this in my life.
Yeah, and you're referring to that Trump rally in Minneapolis, and you were there, and
no, I wasn't there.
Oh, you were not.
Bikers. I know bikers that were there.
Oh, bikers that were there, right? And so you're saying that once they left.
Yeah.
Some of these left-leaning demonstrators started tearing things apart.
They were smacking people in the face, knocking their hats, and they pick on women. I mean, it's the hatred it's just unbelievable. I mean, when we, you know, like down in Florida, I mean, when we ride and we're asked to go to certain places, and Antifa shows up, which they're very special people, and they usually see us and they don't cause problems.
Yes, I can imagine. I do have a visual of that. I do have a visual. Now, you have members from around the country, or what?
Yes, we have few.
You do.
Yep.
And we
also join other biker groups. There's a biker group called Boots on the Ground Bikers for Trump. They have no association with Chris Cox or nothing, but they're a great organization also. And we ride. We respect any bikers that ride. You know, if you're a biker and you're for President Trump, you're a biker for Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. It's just that, and we ride with a lot of veteran groups. They all join us. I mean, we did on 9/7, we did a 9/11 run to escort the wall that had all the plates of all the people that sacrificed their life and, all, you know, and the firemen and stuff.
Yes.
So what happened is we came out with about almost 850 bikers. But it was all different organizations.
Wow. That's amazing. We're talking with George Colella. He is the president of Bikers for 45. You mentioned the World Trade Center and that you were actually there in the building. I mean, it's got, obviously, you'll never forget that.
Well, let me, I don't know how much I could talk about, but the thing is that the morning when, everybody knows how beautiful the day was.
It was a gorgeous
morning
day.
I lived in Long Island. I took the Long Island Railroad, and I then took another train, and I came out of the station, and there's usually coffee wagons all around the buildings. And I saw that half of the cabs, there weren't that many cabs as usually there are in the morning, because I get there like about 7 o'clock in the morning, and the coffee wagons were missing, which I know they were owned by those other people that did something. Because they had the Ayatollah Khomeini's pictures in their coffee wagon.
Oh, really? Oh, in other words, you're saying that there might have been some Muslim-owned coffee wagons that might have been... Go ahead.
Yeah, the other people, they did something. And what happened was I had to work with two Muslim techs that morning, and they didn't show up either. They were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. They didn't show up. And then when the first plane hit, I didn't know the plane hit. I felt the ground shake first, and then I heard the explosion.
Was it your building, the first building? Were you in the first building that was hit?
Yes. So what happened was, and that's how powerful it was, but you saw people running, but we didn't know that a plane hit because you're inside the building.
Right. So,
and then we saw, out the window, we saw this white flaky stuff coming down. And then I grabbed my partner and another guy. I said, we got to get out of this building because...
What floor were you on, George?
On the seventh floor.
Seventh floor, okay.
So I was very lucky, but to see the amount of firemen and police that came into the building, I remember all these faces that I saw, put an impression on me because I was running out while they were running in.
While they were running in. There is that great impression we had, the firefighters and policemen, that knew that they might not come out of that.
Yeah. So it's just amazing. And then I did attend to a lot of the funerals because there were too many firemen and police officers that didn't have enough people to show up at these funerals because, you know, everybody was occupied. All the other firemen were occupied every place else. But I'm glad that bill was passed to extend about the medical and the funding and stuff. So that was very good.
Wow.
President Trump passed.
Georgia, do you mind taking a comment or a question from my buddy Big Ed here?
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, George, I've only been able to ask this question once before, somebody else that was fortunate to get out alive. What does it make you feel like when you turn on the TV and some conspiracy theory guy is on there saying it was all an inside job?
Well, I know that building from in and out because I saw those buildings go up and I saw them come down. But the structure of the building, which a lot of people don't know, what happened is after the 1993 first terrorist attack that happened in the basement, they decided to build the building, the Seven World Trade. And also, when Omar was saying that CARE was founded in after 2001, which is bullshit, excuse my language, because it was started in 1994.
You're referring to Ilhan Omar, by the way, the congressman. Okay.
Right, correct. And what happens is she lied about that it happened after 2001. CARE was started in, after 1994, after the first terrorist bombing that we had in the Trade Center. Right. So now Seven World Trade Center was built. I don't know how much time I got on this.
No, but go ahead. It's very interesting.
Well, Seven World Trade was built, and what they did is they had when they had the FBI and the CIA and Homeland Security in there, and also Rudy Giuliani's special organization in there, you know, for the cops and stuff, for the 911. And what happened was what they decided to do is make all transportations to make deliveries in all the other buildings going in through the basement of Seven World Trade, because they closed the entrance to the Trade Center. They sealed it. And after the building was completed, all deliveries and everything else had to go through the Seven World Trade. So now the buildings, how to be constructed, which a lot of people will know because they listen to these morons with these therapy. And it's just amazing because what happens is they had elevators from 1 to 48 with banks. Everything is in the center core, I mean, directly center of the Trade Center. There wasn't any elevator banks on the outside of the building. If you saw, I have pictures of the next day. If I ever meet you guys, I'll show them to you, of the devastation. But what happens is you had elevators from local elevators from 1 to 48, then you had an express elevator that went up from 1 to 48 express.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had another, on the 48th floor, you had other elevator banks that went from 48th floor up to 72. Then you had an express elevator that went from the first floor to 72nd floor. And I say the elevator that brings you up, I'd say it was like about maybe a 20 by 20 box like, and that's how many people they could fit in there. So that would go directly up to the 72nd floor, and then they would have the elevators that went up to the other floors up to 105, 106.
So are you saying that because of the way the elevator setup was in those buildings that the conspiracy theorists... Go ahead.
Because of the way the planes hit and they were full of fuel, they went into those elevator banks because we had two guys that had radios on, and one guy had a bed back, and the other guy, he couldn't go down the stairs, so they took the elevator. We heard he was calling up that they were stuck in the elevator to help them, and then you heard the silence. So we lost 17 members of the Electricals Union.
You did?
In the building.
Yeah, I mean,
other friends. So.
Oh, I was going to say, you just don't understand how something like that would affect people like yourself that actually experienced it. But
yeah, well, you keep on, you know, you'll never forget it, and especially when it comes close to the time, I have nightmares and stuff. I mean,
oh my goodness,
it's just that things we have to deal with because watching people jumping out of the building, they had a choice of either burning or jumping, and those were. The very sad sight.
Oh, my God.
But the buildings collapsed exactly the way they're supposed to do because of the way the structure was. And plus, when the buildings went up in the 70s, which a lot of people don't know, asbestos was outlawed. And what they did with the asbestos, they put that in the concrete because it was outlawed. So they had it, so they used it as a filler, really.
Okay.
I think it was up after the 60th floor of the first tower when it's being put up.
Mm-hmm.
But they put the asbestos in the concrete. It's strong, but it's still... And then when Wigman said that the air quality was great, I knew right away she was out of her mind, because the asbestos, that lingers on for months and months and months. And
so we, the asbestos was in the air from the dust that was blowing out. And then you got all the firefighters...
Right.
And police that are in there. And then when you hear about some of them getting sick after all of this, you can understand it.
Yeah, because what happens is, I don't know if you know about asbestos, but...
It's devastating to your lungs.
Well, asbestos you could consume. You could actually eat asbestos. And it's also, some people use it to filter wine, believe it or not.
Oh.
But the thing is when you breathe it in, it actually puts fish hooks in your lungs.
Oh, my goodness.
So now what happens, anytime you breathe any type of air or any pollen or anything else like that, they start attacking these fish hooks, and there's no cure for them, and then it causes the cancer because of the bacteria and everything else that happens.
Gotcha.
So, and that stuff was, and especially when the buildings were done and completed, they put tile floors down, and I don't know how old you are, but I remember the old tiles had the asbestos in the tiles.
Yes.
And what they used to do is they used to put computer floors above the tile. So they didn't have to replace the tile, or else they would have to do an abatement to remove all the tiles. So all those floors had plenty of asbestos tiles in it.
Yeah.
So and then the asbestos that was in the cement, and then all the high-rise pipes that were in the boiler shafts that came up, because they used the water cool from the water from the harbor there to cool off the building and the heating and everything. And all the pipes inside there were all covered with asbestos.
That's horrible. Well, George, I want to thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure to talk with you. George Colella, president of Bikers 445. Maybe down the road we'll talk with you again, my friend.
Yeah, no problem, but God bless America and God bless our president. Make sure we pray for our Constitution and our president. It's very important.
Terrific. Thank you, George.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure, George. Thank you. All right. Ed, I don't know. Should we take
that's a real American there.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Being in the... First of all, he knew Trump before Trump was, working with him in New York. My goodness. He gets in 9/11. He's a biker for 45. I mean, he's had an interesting life, hasn't he? Wow. All right. I don't know. Should we go right to talking about some of these other things? We only had a few minutes. I guess Lola won't mind if we just go right to to our other stories here. But we did want to briefly mention that, let's see here, that our vice president is over right now, apparently trying to talk with the chief troublemaker over there in Turkey, Erdogan. Turkish strongman Erdogan has said he will speak with Pence and their delegation, try to settle all of that trouble over there with the Kurds. I don't know how Trump is going to get out of all of that. He's going to impose sanctions on Turkey. We got, unfortunately, nuclear missiles, our own nuclear missiles in Turkey. So it's a real mess. So we got to keep our eyes on that. All right. It is time, Ed, you can get over on the drums, for our top 10. And I don't know if people remember, but not a while back we did the top 10 best cities to retire to. So Turnabout being fair play, want to let people know where they should not go after they decide to hang up their work clothes. The top 10 cities that are worst to retire to. By the way, this comes from Magnify Money. And they addressed the question. They compiled data on 171 cities throughout the country. And the scoring was based on cost of living and quality of life. Values combined to produce an overall ranking of the best and worst cities. So here we go, Ed. The worst cities to retire to. Number 10. Syracuse, New York. You ever been to Syracuse, Ed? You're a New Yorker, right?
I may have driven through it.
Well, apparently keep going, because you shouldn't retire in Syracuse. Okay. Plus, they got a lot of snow, don't they?
Yeah.
Big time snow. Okay. Yeah. Number 9. Hey, this one's been in the news, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We know about that. All kinds of trouble in Baltimore. Not a good place to live after you want to celebrate your golden years. Number eight. And this one surprised me. Salt Lake City in Utah is not a good place to retire. Huh. I wonder why. It didn't get a good rating, however. Number seven. Reno, Nevada. Now, it's a beautiful area, Reno is. But maybe it's very expensive. Their cost of living, actually, let me look here. Yeah, bad cost of living.
That's what I was going to say, probably.
Bad cost of living. And it's a 14 is a lousy quality of life, 14.4. So that's another reason. Number six. Back to New York. Albany, New York, the capital of New York. Let's see. It got a very bad quality of life. That was the worst. There's two different things, cost of living and quality of life, but bad quality of life. Number five, Denver, Colorado.
What?
I know, and you go there for skiing, don't you?
Yep.
Well, you don't ski in Denver, though. You ski in the nice area. Yeah. Well, don't stay in Denver too long because their quality of life is only 30.5 out of 100. All right, number four. You ever been to Bridgeport, Connecticut, Ed?
No.
Well, don't go there because it's number four and it's got a very bad cost of living. Very expensive there. Number three. And I'm not sure where this is, Ed, but you might know. Binghamton, New York?
No.
Well, no wonder. It's so bad. It's got a horrible quality of life, 20.2. Bad for Binghamton. Number two. Now, I don't know how this one got in here. Anchorage, Alaska. Anchorage. I mean, first of all, how many people would retire to Anchorage, Alaska to even think about it?
I mean, it's
maybe some.
Pretty out there, but
it is pretty.
You know, finding a job is going to be rough.
Finding a job might be rough. You know, it's right on the water. Mm-hmm. It's got a horrible quality of life, though. For some reason, 22.5. It's one of the worst for quality of life. All right, Ed. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll give you a hint. It's on the East Coast. What do you think is the worst city to retire to? Think big.
I'm going to say big. New York's big. Let's... On the East Coast? D.C.?
D.C. is a good guess. Mm. All right, roll the drums. The number one worst city to retire to. You said it, Ed. It was New York.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, New York, New York?
New York, New York. Cost of living.
Oh,
cost of living is the worst city in the group.
You got that.
The cost of living, it'll break you down.
450 square foot apartment probably for $7,000 a month.
It'll wipe you out. Yeah. You got all of your retirement savings. The last place you want to go is the Big Apple. Now, it's a great place to visit, of course.
Yeah, nobody drives it. You take a cab or the what do you call it, the subway and all that stuff.
When was the last time you were in New York?
Oh,
a long time ago?
Late 80s, I went for a visit.
Wow, a long time ago. All right, now, we thank you so much for joining us on Freedom Works. We will be back on Friday. Stay tuned for the Craft Beer Hour with host Kenny and Bill right after the news. Thank you for joining. Drive safely and always remember that Freedom Works.